Good afternoon, everyone. It's Dr. Niger again, our next episode of Psychology Unplugged. As always, a heartfelt thank you to all of our followers here in the United States and abroad. I appreciate your continued interest and input into this podcast. This is Mental Health Awareness Month in the United States. I'm not sure if it's international, but I know it is here. And obviously something that is a passion of mine in doing this work as a neuropsychologist, as and the podcast has been an amazing opportunity to really kind of stick to the mission. When I first started this, was to, you know, really legitimize the seriousness of mental health and psychological disorders, to emphasize the importance of diagnostics, to clarify the clinical picture, to destigmatize. We are slowly chipping away at that, but really to destigmatize mental health, but to give a sense of hope. And when I say that, I mean that with professionalism and with confidence. And are some things more difficult to deal with than others? Definitely. Is everybody's individual experience with mental health the same? Absolutely not. It's individual journey, but it is a journey that could, you know, it is filled with pain and confusion, but also has a light at the end of the tunnel. So if you're struggling with mental health, I definitely, or a loved one is, I strongly and wholeheartedly encourage you to seek out treatment, reach out to us, and, you know, if we could be a source of information, even though we're not treating anybody, but to be a source of information and guidance. And it's so cool how many people have entered the field, and got someone who's going to school in Cincinnati reached out to me with some topics. I'm going to try and connect with Shirley from Australia to talk about equine therapy, and just keep going on this journey. And I appreciate the messages and the emails of the impact that, you know, the positive impact that we're having. So today's episode, and I kind of wanted to break this down. I came across this article, and I made some notes. And this is always going to be the challenge of trying to figure out what I write. I can't even read my own handwriting sometimes. But I did the episode on covert narcissism, and I'm going to expand upon that with different series and segments, because it is something that is pretty pervasive. And it really, what I wanted to kind of focus today's topic on is the whole concept of gaslighting. And gaslighting is it's a relatively new term, and it's something that I hear very frequently from people themselves and people who are involved in relationships. And, you know, the definition of gaslighting is the act or practice of grossly misleading someone, especially for one's own advantage. But it can cause incredible psychological damage to an individual, to the point where they are questioning their own sanity. And, you know, the historical connotation is 1938 play, and there was a film adaptation called Gaslight. And in the movie, the woman's husband, he starts gradually, like, dimming the gas lamps in their house. And starts making slow, subtle changes to their living environment. And when the wife brings this up, he tells her she's forgetful, she's imagining things, she's odd, there's something wrong. And she isolates herself from others so she can get a reality check. And she really starts to doubt her own sanity. Because the person closest to her, the one that she relies on, her husband, is what she perceives all this is happening in her head. And, you know, I think gaslighting is a form of emotional abuse. you know, where somebody is really into manipulated it into doubting their own perceptions and experiences and understanding of events. And even the American Psychological Association is recognized this as a legitimate phenomenon that occurs, and it occurs very much with narcissism, and it's I made a list of some common phrases that I pulled from this article that are often would use by somebody who is quote unquote gaslighting. I always hate the proverbial quotes, but especially when people do them like in real life, they have to put their hands up. So that's one of my things that bothers me. But okay, here's one. I really think you need to calm down. And this is complete invalidation. And it is, you know, you're expressing your feelings and getting upset. You're not feeling heard. And the person who's gaslighting you is basically saying, I think you need to calm down, and basically is just dismissing and invalidating someone's own emotional experience. Another one, are you sure you didn't dream that? This phrase from a gaslighter makes you almost start doubting your memory. So maybe the person kind of get out of a commitment. It's gonna again making you start questioning yourself. And our memory is a very important part of our narrative. So you know, did you dream that? And again, these are phrases that are often said by people who are engaging in gaslighting. They're said almost without emotion, and almost with confusion to the person that they're gaslighting. It's like, did you dream that? Almost with like squinted eyes and a tilted head. Another one, I'm actually really concerned about you. You seem all over the place. This is the intention of this one is to make someone like they're basically all over the place. And that really, maybe I do need to go see somebody. Maybe I do need to go get help. Maybe I do need to go get evaluated. But you know, someone who's using this type of phraseology is, again, they're coming across as being genuine. I'm really concerned about you. You seem all over the place. It's going to make a person think, wait a minute, you know, what have I been doing differently? They may pick up the phone and call their parents or call their partner or call someone just to, you know, to cross check. Am I really all over the place? Here's another one. This is very common used by narcissists. This is what somebody wouldn't say to someone who's gaslighting. They would say this to someone else. You know, just so you know, my partner's they've been acting a little irrational lately. This is that, you know, this is a phrase a gaslighter wouldn't say to you, but would say to people around you to gain sympathy if you were to express to someone in your group or your friend group that you're unhappy in the relationship. And this is using isolation to undermine your support. Another one, you're bullying me. Gaslighters are really trying to turn the table on you, insist that your point of view be heard, and they label you as an aggressor. And this is really, I think, boils down to deflecting. They're calling you something instead of listening to what you're saying. And this is what gaslighters often do, is they find the thing that their partner is most insecure about. Another one, I'm sorry if you're mad. Again, total invalidation. It's taking no responsibility. I'm sorry if you're mad, and the person may not even be mad. You see these phrases where they almost have a empathic quality, but the whole goal of this is mental manipulation. Another one. Now, why would I make that up? Okay, the goal here, I think in this phrase, is to take no responsibility, no matter what. It is total denial. And a gaslighter doesn't I don't think they need to cast uncertainty and confusion over everything. And that kind of sets the stage for you, for your self-doubt, and throws you off balance. You know, why would I make that up? And almost like, wait, did I miss something? Did I miss a memo? Why are you doing this to me? It makes no sense. Again, making the person, the gaslighter, the victim. You know I would never hurt you on purpose. Boy, this is one you hear a lot, again, from narcissists. You know, they're continuing to apologize and explain they acted this way, and they're minimizing their ownership, and they're taking ownership without taking ownership. This I think is lip service. You know, somebody, you know, cheated on them, or maybe the partner perceives that the person cheated on them. And you know, narcissists, especially the covert ones, this is much more subtle. And again, because it's said not from a place of anger, not from a place of an argument, not from a place generally of a fight, but in this subtle context. So, because you know, when emotion goes up, logic goes down. And when the gaslighter speaks in this calming, confused way, the person who's being gaslit really does start to question, like, oh my God. And it may take years for them to actually see it, because this is all psychological manipulation. Another one, I did it for your own good. And this is really, I think, withholding. It gives the person more control over you and causes more confusion by making you feel that you can't function without the other person. What do you mean? I did it for your own good? Like, I needed you to do this for me. I didn't ask you to do this for me, but almost putting you into a role where it's creating dependency. And you know what personality works best with a narcissist? Dependent personality. It is a pathological match made in heaven, though. This could be, you know, a form of financial abuse, where implying the other person is bad with money. And again, it's these are so common. I hear this stuff all the time. I'm not sure your friends and your family have your best interests at heart. Context is true, because it depends on the circumstances. But with a gaslighter, I think it's really a tactic to isolate you from the people that you do trust, so you can't get a reality check, and you come to rely more and more on the gaslighter to the exclusion of people who can give you a different perspective, making you question, you know, really limiting and reducing your social circle, your work circle, your family circle, to make you think like, the only person who really cares about you because I have your best interest at heart, I really don't think that, you know, listen, honey, I really, you know, I talked with your mom, and I really don't think your family understands you. I don't think they have your best interests at heart. And it's an incredibly useful tool for the gaslighter to isolate the person and extrapolate them from healthy sources in their life that can give them a different perspective. Another one, you're too emotional, and this is another attempt to like trivialize someone's feelings. Oh yeah, your life is so hard. You know, this is I think is sarcastic, but it would, again, the point is your feelings are not valid. That is the overarching theme of a lot of these statements and of gaslighting in general, is that your feelings are invalid and you're questioning your own sanity. What I write here, I never agreed to that. Where did you get that idea? This is straight up denial. And even the person is an abusive, malignant gaslighter, they will never admit that they did agree to whatever it is. So lying, it's almost innate and so interwoven into the fabric of their personality and their personality style. And this type of denial generally happens with family members who try to rewrite history, which may cause you to doubt your own memory. It's incredibly destabilizing, and with a gaslighter, the intent is to harm, the intent is to control, and the intent is to abuse, and they will not retract something like this, no matter how convincing you are. They will never express true remorse because they really are incapable of it. And if they apologize, they're likely to retract it at some point and they'll blame you for making it up, blame you for making them apologize. So incredibly destabilizing, incredibly destructive, and it's incredibly damaging. You just think that's what you mean. It's not what you really mean. Okay, none of us are mind readers, so this statement just at face value is problematic. And this is like the tactic of like countering, where you're kind of making the person doubt their competence and their internal reality. And then the gaslit person can start to lose touch with their own instincts and even their own inner narrative. And then who's the only person that they can trust? Is the gaslighter. Because the gaslighter has already pulled them away from their family. They pulled them away from their coworkers. They pulled away from their siblings. They pulled them away from maybe sometimes even their children. Again, they're trying to create total dependency on them, the gaslighter. Another one, you don't really want that. What this usually means is, I don't want you to have what you want. I know what's best for you. And I know you better than you know yourself. That's the underlying message here. And this is a form of withholding and not allowing somebody to act upon or pursue tangible or intangible things. Because, you don't really need that. Another one. I know all about these things. All right, talk about arrogance and, you don't need to go to the doctor. I know the answer. You're going to be fine. Just drink some water. You can maybe weave in conversion disorder by proxy, possibly. But again, this isn't as a malicious statement. It's a form, again, it's a form of isolation that as the gaslighter, I am your only source and I am the source of all knowledge and I know everything about you. Here's another one. I hear this a lot from people. You're crazy. And this is a common phrase gaslighters use to avoid taking responsibility or being held accountable for their actions. It's all about getting the victim to self-doubt and question the reality of the situation. No, I wasn't looking at her. I didn't cheat. They called me. I just was returning a phone call. You know, it was only lunch. What are you crazy? There's nothing more going on. It's like, again, if you hear this long enough, in the law of proximity, which is basically the closer someone is in relation to us, the more that their statements generally matter. Versus the guy on the street who may, swear at you if you cut him off. It's like, less, if you have road rage, it's a different issue. But you're more like, okay, I'm not going to, whatever. But if somebody close to you is saying these things, and again, they're saying these things from a place of care. They're saying things from a place of concern because it is their ego. It is their narcissism. It is their sense of entitlement. And, the goal is to own you and to have you completely dependent on them. That does not mean that you are the be-all, end-all true love of their life. Maybe you were at some point or maybe on some different level of reality you are. But this is considerable pathology that could, I think, definitely result in trauma, could possibly, I think, even lead to someone to a realm of psychosis, could lead somebody down a path of substance use. If you're constantly questioning your reality and you're made to think that everything you believe is wrong, and even if you believe what you believe is right, at one point, the gaslighter may say, no, that never happened. And you're like, what are you talking about that never happened? So yes, it could certainly create a definite state of mental confusion. Here's another one. So-and-so thinks you're crazy too. Since, again, isolation is the key tactic of gaslighting. And the perpetrator, the gaslighter, their goal is to make you feel alone and powerless. Instead of, you know, saying something like this, it could make you, really... maybe not want to trust those people anymore. Maybe, you know, especially if you're in the throngs of this relationship and you know, you're really believing everything and you believe that this person is the key to your salvation and your happiness and your total dependence. So thinks you're crazy. And they generally say it, you know, it could be, I guess it could be said in either one of two ways, in a malicious way, like, you know, so-and-so thinks you're crazy too. And it can also, I guess be said, and you know, so-and-so thinks you're crazy too. So-and-so thinks that you really need to, you know, go see somebody. So, and, but you know, they say that, but they don't want you to go see somebody because they don't want the reality and the narrative that they have created, be contradicted. Another classic one. It didn't happen that way. Telling somebody that this can be an incredibly negative experience, and that it again is causing somebody to doubt their own perceptions, feel confused. It can be incredibly traumatic. What do you mean it didn't happen that way? I saw you kiss him. I saw you kiss her. Whatever. No, it didn't happen that way. Just bumped into them. You're like, wait a minute. And again, you could see how this could really, and if you guys are experiencing this and any of these things sound familiar, this stuff is how it happens, and this is real. Another one, that never happened. Again, making you doubt your own reality is a form of a real covert passive-aggressive form of gaslighting, you know, completely diminishing your own individualistic perception of an experience or an event. Another one, this can be gaslighting, but I'm going to put this in the context of gaslighting, but this can be just in the context of just human interaction. That's not what I meant. Some things get lost in translation. A lot of things get lost in translation with texting, and things can be misinterpreted. You know, just because somebody says something in all caps doesn't mean they're yelling at you. They may be. They just may not know how to use their phone or what certain you know, social conventions and those types of things mean. But in the context of gaslighting, this statement really enables a gaslighter to avoid taking responsibility and is totally discrediting the other individual's opinion, their personal experience, their credibility, their intelligence. And this is, you know, that's not what I meant. And again, what I mean, whatever I say is what the reality is and what the gaslighter is saying. Your reality doesn't matter. Here's the martyr one. You know, if you cared about me, you would blank, blank, blank. So in romantic relationships, the gaslighter uses their partner's love against them as a way to excuse their bad behavior. They may incorrectly accuse partners of cheating or causing problems in the relationship. So they'll say things like, if you cared about me, you would let me look through your phone. If you cared about me, then you would do this. If you cared about me. So they're basically, you know, again, trying to take complete control. And if you're looking at people's phones, there's problems. If you got to put tracking devices on your partner's phone, I'm not talking your kids, and you got to check that their texts, you got to check their call logs, there's problems there. And, you know, I mean, it could be you know, there could really be something going on. But my problem, it could be, this could be a function of sometimes, you know, borderline rage and borderline jealousy, where you got to go through the person's phone because the abandonment issues are spiked up. Or maybe there are problems in a relationship. But that's a section, a topic I'll do at some other point on you know, couples therapy or relational therapy. Here's a total minimization. You always blow things out of proportion. You know, basically your feelings aren't valid. Another one, you know, this is why you don't have any friends. And this is basically attacking someone's self-worth. And it's designed to alienate them from others. So they become more dependent on the gaslighter. Gaslighters may also suggest that you stay away from people, your family, you quit your job. And it's completely demeaning. You know, this is why you don't have any friends. Total shot against your personality. Again, another minimization. Don't get so worked up over this. Very similar to being told like you're crazy. And this is all about discrediting and minimizing the victim's intelligence and, you know, emotional perception. Classic one. You know, you can't take a joke. And gaslighters, and I think a lot of people in general can use this term as a way to get away from hurtful comments. If you're really good at being passive aggressive, you can, you know, people who are passive aggressive are really good at this, because depending on the person's response, they could pursue further if they see, okay, the response is going my way. Or they respond by, well, that was only a joke. I didn't mean that, because the reaction that they're getting isn't in line with the reaction that they wanted. And also saying hurtful things in a joking way to normalize the situation. And, you know, again, those are definitely passive aggressive tendencies. You have no clue about blup. And, you know, gaslighters and manipulators, they often unfairly and inappropriately blame someone else for a problem in a relationship. It's to take the attention off themselves. That is, they don't, as much as, here's the irony, as much as they want the spotlight on them because of the ego, they don't want the spotlight on them because they're vapid and they're manipulators. Another one. You made me do it. I can't make anybody do anything. You know, I've heard this. Well, you made me cheat. You made me lie. You made me do that. You made me buy that. No one makes anybody do anything, you know. And, you know, deflection and confusing, as I've said over and over again, are hallmarks of gaslighting and perpetrators. But, you know, and even they get their partners or the people that they're in a relationship with, they get them to apologize, even when they haven't done anything wrong. You made me do it. You know, if you were better at this, if you were better romantic partner, if you were better with money, if you cared about me more, you know, total deflection, total blame, totally externalizing. Another one. I'm the only one who is responsible for this relationship. Relationships, last I checked, generally take two people. And in my work with, you know, work I've done like with couples and whatnot, it's generally never one person. And both parties are implicated to different degrees. But again, it's you know, again, the whole, if I'm the one who's responsible for the relationship, it makes the other person feel as if you know, they're questioning their sanity. Here's one. This gets pretty low. You know, the kids know you're not a good parent, and this happens as it relates to like parental alienation. And you see this a lot in contentious divorces where money's involved, and for a variety of reasons, and it, you know, can cause the person to get upset, and it's diminishing the sense of self and self-esteem. It makes the person believe that others think badly of them. They may overcompensate, but to go when you we're starting to use kids as pawns, and unfortunately, this happens way too often. And you know, you try to put a behavioral modification program in place when you have two parents where one is party central, the other is it's a military boot camp. That is incredibly difficult to do, and parental alienation is very real. And kids should never be used as pawns, and they should never be, because their mental health is being affected. And I'm telling you this as somebody who sees this on a daily basis, whether this is gaslighting or not. But when you have these contentious relationships and ex-partners and using kids, there's really no justification for that. Another one. All right, who are they going to believe? And, there's this unequal power dynamic where the gaslighter kind of sets themselves on a perceived pedestal and diminishes the person being gaslit. And it's like, who are they going to believe? Because they've created the narrative and have isolated people from their social situations, and they isolate them and they pick away, and the social circle becomes so small that the narrative that is now written about the person who's been gaslit has spread out through the community, through the social circles. And then if you were to go tell somebody, that's not what happened, they're going to look at you like, honey, you are the one with the problem. And this is what people do with gaslighting. It is incredibly toxic and damaging. Another one, excuse me, you're too sensitive. Again, complete minimization and just it's really just complete neglect for someone's own emotional experience. Just another one, just don't worry about it now. So when the gaslighter gets their victim upset, they say this because if the victim or person being gaslit tries to call them out, the goal immediately minimize someone's feelings so that they doubt their emotions, or they worry that they're being too sensitive. And, discrediting a gaslighter will lead, as is with narcissism, narcissistic injury is revenge. So this is an incredibly, just don't worry about it now. That's to shut it down. Minimize it and shut it down. Here's another one. This is, you're gaslighting me. And shifting the blame is a very common gaslighting tactic, and it's accusing the victim that you're gaslighting, that they're the gaslighter. And again, the whole thing, draw the attention away from me, draw it away from me. It's you. So I wanted to bring these, I just found these statements really, really relevant, because this is, again, a very real phenomenon. This is something that does happen. I thought it was a great article. I just read the different statements and just did my own extrapolation of how interpret them briefly for you guys. But yes, gaslighting is very real. I think it will at some point segue into a symptom, a diagnostic criteria, possibly even a disorder at some point, given how prevalent it is and how often this term is used. You can definitely check out that movie. Then I probably find it somewhere, Amazon or Prime or Netflix, Gaslight. But, this is very, it's not solely in the realm of narcissists, but it is very common in narcissism, in the covert type, because again, it's coming across, yes, like these can be said with anger and with malice, and there is anger and malice in these statements, but it's often said from a place of love and a place of confusion and a place of, like, again, that tilted head, squint, like I don't get it. Almost like if you watch Columbo, it's like Columbo. It's like, he's super smart, but he plays dumb. And, you know, these statements are, again, designed to discredit you, to minimize you, to question your own sanity and reduce your world where the gaslighter is. They try to get you to see them as the light of their own salvation, but they could easily kick you to the curb the next day. So hopefully this was helpful. I want to, you know, continue with the whole, you know, covert narcissism stuff at different points. But this is a really relevant topic, and I didn't want to just throw it out without having context, because it's definitely recognized, like I said, by the American Psychological Association as something that happens, and with people, you know, forms of abuse, and I said it could lead to very serious mental health issues, and I would even venture to guess that it could probably create personality disorders in children if these statements are said to children growing up and as their personalities are developing. So, you know, these are, you know, again, podcasts about creating awareness. So, if you see somebody, that you're in relationship with or know, and they're involved with somebody, talk to them, pull them aside, have them listen to the episode, have them reach out, have them get in contact with a mental health provider, because this could really lead to a path of destruction and cause long-term psychological harm. And, you know, can be, you know, reconstructed through therapy. But when you're questioning your sanity and you can develop a whole host, if you're worrying all the time, developing gastrointestinal problems, you know, if the comments are about your looks or appearance, could lead to, you know, create eating disorders. So there could be a lot of destruction from these individuals, and it comes so naturally to them. And I think a lot of them aren't even fully completely aware that they're doing it because it's so ingrained into their psyche and their personality. So until next time, feel free to reach out, get a hold of me through Psychology Today. You can contact me directly at psychologyunplugged@outlook.com. Follow us on Instagram, psychology_unplugged_. As I said, I don't know why I didn't pull it up. I did get a separate iPhone that all of you guys have been using that I have posted on Instagram just for people from the podcast. And looking forward to all of you guys who are coming out to see me in Massachusetts for neuropsych evals and heartfelt appreciation. You can reach me directly at 617-750-9411 East Coast Standard Time in the United States. Until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, be well, guys, and I will talk to you.